forgot to cough.
So, that did you pass that medical exam?
Yes, I did.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I'm very glad. Both ways and coughed.
Well, we're warming our engines for takeoff in T-minus... What was that? We've already taken off.
Oh, that's
like
awkward.
An unloved dog shoved into a tin can and launched into space. It's Seven Land Land!
Yay!
Brought to you by Good Games St. James. That drags. Space.
Space.
More vast than Aaron's magic card knowledge, more what? Starry-eyed than Matt at the release of Star Wars Episode 1, blacker than his mood when he realised it was shit, leaving his popcorn for strangers and storming out of the cinema. Humans have been staring at the universe since we first learnt the meaning of up. A primal urge to understand the cosmos fired Copernicus into the revelation of heliocentrism. The idea that the sun is relatively fixed and that Earth revolves around our local star. Mm. Galileo, the father of modern astronomy, pushed this cause and spent his final days under house arrest due to the controversy it caused. In the 20th century, Orson Welles famously trolled the radio waves with H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds. Russia won every leg of the space race, except for landing a man on the moon and therefore lost the space race. Because we're in the Western society, so, yeah, viva.
Yeah, forget all that other stuff that they
Yeah, use. Yeah, it's not our team. Yeah. As a society, we became more aware of the universe beyond and started to reinterpret our surroundings to include UFOs, alien abductions, and events such as Roswell. Science fiction brought us Asimov's Foundation series and Arthur C. Clarke's 2001. Movies such as Aliens, Star Wars, and Close Encounters hit the silver screen, whilst Flash Gordon and Star Trek started their quests on the small screen. But what does it all mean to gamers? To sculpt a black monolith into a pod using nothing but a lightsaber, I'm joined by Space Cadet Aaron Graham.
Space Cadet? Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
You're a Space Cadet.
All right, that's fine.
You're not fully qualified.
Not like Bridge Commander or something?
And Starship Trooper Matt McHale.
May the Schwartz be with you.
Gentlemen, welcome to space.
Hello.
Hi.
It's pretty cold.
I forgot all about Spaceballs. That was at least as good as Alien.
I forgot.
Oh, definitely. And in fact, that's probably on my top 10 list.
Oh, space. We have that coming up later in Aaron's top 10
Unrelated
list.
To films.
Oh. When I was looking up space movies, I ran into Barbarella and it said Jane Fonda strips and right at the beginning of the movie. So I immediately loaded that up and got completely distracted from any kind
of... Oh, yeah.
And it was on YouTube, so it was just like it was...
Jane Fonda strips.
It was such hardcore stripping. It was kind of like a snogging scene in CSI on Channel 7 on a Thursday night.
What about the snogging scene?
It was that level of hardcoreness.
Oh, that level.
Yeah.
Oh. And CSI is not particularly Channel 7.
Which is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so we're here to review Space Games.
Space Games.
Galaxy Trucker! Here it is. This is like a box full of spaceship parts that you got to build.
It actually is entirely full of that. There's many different compartments. I'm going to unbox some.
Remember, the listeners won't be able to see what you've got in your hands.
Look at this. Look how great the pieces are in my hand. Feel the texture of them, listeners.
It looks like you're building a pinball machine.
It does. This game, I knew very little about. I thought it seemed like an odd name for a space-related game, Galaxy Trucker. But
it's like mercenary stuff, isn't it? It's like Galaxy Trucker, that's what I thought. I thought it's a mercenary game or something where you load up your spaceship with goods and you fly to the other side of the universe.
Yeah, the interesting... that was what I thought.
Yeah.
So you look at the front and there's a very happy man in his spaceship with some lasers and that on the front. He's carrying some cargo at the back. And something that I didn't realize was
in
that...
In space, no one can hear you masturbate. That's why he's happy.
In the cargo hold?
Yeah, oh, wherever you feel like.
Well,
in
his hands are up by his face, so I don't know.
That's a declaration of innocence. Look, my hands are waiting.
My hands are here.
But it's space. He might have eight hands.
He might have a vacuum of some kind. That would be...
This week's episode brought to you by...
Masturbation Vacuums, Inc.
Yay! Oh, we're overstocked in those.
I think this one immediately reminded me of...
Oh, yeah, Galaxy Trucker.
Oh, yeah, immediately reminded me of Spaceballs, back to that. You know, filling up the Winnebago and off you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Had that sort of feel. You're constructing a Winnebago-esque type ship. Not a Millennium Falcon.
Oh, no, yeah. Not a Millennium Falcon. More on that later.
Something really good about this game was that the rules are spaced out so that you can start a game immediately. Just out of the box, it says, grab these pieces and stick them over here. We'll worry about the rest later.
Oh, good. So you can just open it and jump straight in.
Yeah, jump straight in. And it says, grab a spaceship building board, because the first section of the game is building.
Like a template or something.
Yeah, it's like a template, and there's three different levels of complexity. The first one's quite simple, looks like a basic kind of Space Invaders ship, like a triangle. I'm just forming that with my hands.
That's close to a triangle.
And it literally tells you the outline for building a ship, what you can do, what you can't do, and it says just build. Build the ship.
And isn't it just you have all the pieces and you just grab as fast as you can? Yeah, it's not like it's your turn now. So there's nothing gentlemanly about it.
There's nothing gentlemanly about it, apart from you can only use one hand, you can only pick up one piece at a time, and you have to decide whether to use that piece or put it back face up in the pile.
So, hang on, if there's experienced players, doesn't this become like you use the other hand as an elbow to take down your mates?
The rules don't specifically say anything about using your left hand to grab the other person's picking
arm. So this is a full body contact board game. So first few times it's like, oh, this looks delightful, I'll place this in.
And then you get an elbow in the eye by 15th game.
You realise you've got absolutely no idea what's going on underneath that table.
That's it. You send people in to bite people's ankles. And
I think that's a pretty a unique, really, convention, that whole restrictive play, you know, one hand only to use the pieces. And it's not a very common theme. I think it's almost like a mini game in itself, constructing the ship.
Yeah, and it was really fun just doing that, because I just played it two-player. Yeah. And
how many players has it got to?
I think it goes up to five. Let's see.
Five. Imagine five players diving into the.
Yeah, that's the thing. So with two players, it was hectic, and you feel the pressure. You feel there's a big pile, and you're just like picking up a thing. You want a gun, and you can't pick up a gun, and then you realize
they're all face down.
They're all face down. Yeah. So the tiles that you're picking from are all face down.
Yeah.
And when you pick one up, you have to decide whether to put it on your ship, attach it somewhere legal, or put it face up in the pile in front of you.
Oh, so then
your opponents can take that if there's a specific piece they need. So if
you're
getting
all guns early on and you put down a cargo hold or something like that, and then when you travel around a bit and you design, you go, right, I need a cargo hold. Yeah. Too late. That one that you put down is already gone.
People are just snapping them up. And at one point, I was playing against Dave. I put down... he was like, oh, I need a battery pack. I need a battery pack to power my like super cannon. And I picked up a battery pack and I was like... better find a spot for this to go somewhere on my ship, because like he is not having that. And I kind of wanted to hide it in the pile of face down tiles, but that's not allowed in the rules, apparently.
Put it underneath that other hand that's resting on the table. So it's obviously they can't just go anywhere, can they?
They're connected somehow. So there are pieces. There's cannons, cargo holds, energy shields, cabin space for crew members, batteries and connectors. Did I say batteries already? I can't remember.
We've covered batteries.
Batteries. And then there's later on you add in the slightly more complex pieces. So even sometimes you pick them up and I'm like, what is this? And it says, don't worry about those. Worry about them later when you play round two. So you just throw them back and no one can use them in the first round. And you pick up all those pieces and you're trying to build a ship that has some guns, some energy shields, some cargo holds. It tells you what's good to have, what you need only one or two of, what's good to just have as many as you want.
This is in the instructions or is there a quick guide?
Oh, this is in the instructions,
You need crew compartments as well?
Yeah, cabins for the people so that they can run the ship.
So obviously all of these things are going to give you advantages and disadvantages. So if you've got loads of... crew, they can repair it or run guns or stuff like that, I imagine.
And you don't understand the value of it playing it the first time, but when we play the second and third rounds, you understand that and you've got to prioritize a bit more.
Yeah.
And you can actually build different style ships, but the first one you build is just a mess. Like, it's just the tiles you pick up, you just throw them on the board. You got some cannons facing this way, some engines was the other thing, thrusters facing backwards, hopefully.
Space, you can go in any direction.
It's space, you can go in any direction. Everywhere's forward.
I think I covered that in the introduction. Space, it's everywhere.
It's the best thing about space, in fact.
Everywhere.
So the first time I made my ship, it had cannons, lots of cannons.
Right, yeah, that's what I'd go for. Of course. Just guns. No one's hurting me.
Guns, a little battery pack that wasn't connected to anything because I didn't realize. I thought you needed battery packs.
Yeah.
And
it
then
wasn't wired up to the guns.
Three thrusters because I couldn't find another one. Oh, the one of the best bits about it is once one person finishes their ship, in whether it's 2 to 5 players, once the first person finishes, they declare their finish and they start the timer and everyone else has to finish by the time the timer runs out.
Oh, right. Wow. And so what happens? So you've got your ship, you build your ship. What happens then?
After you build your ship, you pass it to the person to the left or someone
else.
Your
whole ship.
Yeah, your whole ship, or you swap seats with them and they look over any design flaws that your ship has.
This is the inspection process. This is the FTA inspection process.
This is the bit that Microsoft never do.
Yeah. SFTA. They come and look at your ship and any illegal parts fall off. And if anything illegal was also attached to that, and only by that illegal part, that also falls off. And so I had 3 thrusters to begin with.
Yeah.
One of the thrusters fell off because I didn't put the right connector on between the pieces, and the entire left side of my ship fell.
So what makes it fall off? Any other illegal pieces?
Yeah, any other. So
so that coming off can make other pieces illegal. It can make other join up.
Yeah, because otherwise it's just not attached to the ship by anything. Right. And so I had
you'd have a hull breach.
A hull breach. Yeah. I had one thruster to go on my first space mission with, and I was kind of just going in an odd space circle.
Right.
Orbiting one of the planets, I think.
Is this a case where bigger is better or is smaller better? Smaller and more elusive, or bigger and more bits you can afford to fall off?
Again, like, yeah, this was this is the thing. These instructions are some of the best instructions that I've had because it really ramps it up at a very, very nice rate and you understand every bit of it. At the start, it says more guns are good. Try batteries if you want to, if it works out. More thrusters are good, more cargo is good, more crew is good. The more you can get of any of those things, just don't worry about it. Just play the game. And I really, really like that about it in that you're just like, I'll just build a ship. And I can imagine introducing it to a group of new people and you're just like, just build whatever you want.
Oh, yeah.
You'll find out what is good and what is bad by the time we play the second round, which you don't get with a lot of games. You're thrown in the deep end and you play anything, whether it's from Catan to frickin' Twilight Imperium, which is like one of the most complicated games I've ever played, you don't know what you're doing the first time you set it up. You can read the rules and know the rules back to front, but you don't get you don't get it. You don't get the strategy.
And so you might be a couple of hours away from getting to your second round.
Exactly. You could be days away because it's like it takes so long to set up. You don't have the same people there again, and then you've got to set it all up and do it all again so that you can play it slightly more strategically. Yeah. This one's good in that everyone's at the same level, whether you're experienced or not experienced. It restricts you to start off 1, you have the simple ship. 2 and 3, you have more complicated ships and more complicated missions.
Kind of like that inbuilt tutorial sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Which is the difference between, I guess, board games and computer games. Mm-hmm. Computer games usually have the tutorial built into the first introductory scenario.
Always.
Whereas the board games, it's something that I think is coming in.
And it's, like I said, it's a really great manual. And after you build your ship, you inspect it.
Yeah.
Bits fall off, whatever, and then it just says, you're ready for your first mission, prepare a little space deck of 8 cards. And in the guide, it tells you what each one does, and they're going to come up in a random order. And there's things like planets you can land on, collect cargo from the planets to eventually sell back at your home base. And all the while, you're on a space... the little board of this board game is a little space route. Yeah, circle. Where you place your ships based on how many thrusters they have, so how fast they are. And then every time you do an action on one of the cards, you're set back a few days, like travel days, space days.
Right.
And
space days.
Space is everything.
Oh, yeah, what's space the day defined
space
by?
Space day.
Space day. Space day.
And how, then take how long the universe takes to revolve around.
One time. You?
Itself. Your cargo hold. Yes.
My cargo hold.
You are the center of the universe. So.
Oh, I am.
That's a day. That's a space day.
That's a space day.
Yeah. It's about 3.5 minutes of time.
And there are a few other missions that happen. There's peaceful ones like landing on ships and picking up cargo, and then there's you hit an asteroid field and you need to put those lasers to work. So you roll some dice.
Stuff.
The ship you built's on a grid. you roll some dice and it says which section of your ship the meteor comes for. If there's a laser in the way, you can expel a battery charge to shoot it. So that's what the batteries are for. You want to shoot them. If they hit a shielded part of the ship, they just bounce off.
Yeah.
If they're big, they go through the shield and they just knock off the piece of the ship that they hit, which again can cause the chain reaction where bits of your ship
become
fall
illegal.
Into space, become and, illegal, wow. become space illegal,
That's
and
heavy.
Fall off into space. But it's a lot of fun being like, oh no, I've lost the entire right wing of my ship. There are like 8 crew members on there. Some of my thrusters, and now you're just kind of like a space Hulk just floating in space until some war machine people
until
come
people come along and play space Hulk on your ship. So what's the objective of the game? Is to get back to your home
objective
base
of the
with
game
gear?
as with life is to accrue the most amount of money by the end. Space credits.
About space credits.
Yes. All about the space credits. You get space credits by doing some of the missions in space. You pick up, like, floating spaceships and sell them
and
to people.
And they just come to you randomly through the event deck.
Yeah, through the event deck.
Right.
Which the first time is very simple, and then later on they get more complicated as you play a few more games. And also picking up those cargo from the planets, as long as you have them still on your ship, obviously by the time you finish that round, you sell them off for space credits at the space market, and then have a space relaxation session.
So it sounds very playable then, because your spaceship's never going to be the same, and then you're going to have a random intersection with those missions as
well.
And you've got no idea what mission's coming, so you can't build your ship accordingly.
Yeah, exactly. Which comes into play in the second round, where when the timer starts, I think you, in the second round when you start building your ship, it's timed a little bit more, and you can see what missions are going to be coming up at 3-5 second intervals or something.
It's timed by the amount of blood you're losing because your mate's just punched you in the eye. Right.
By this time, you're cutting each other with little shivs that you've made of the cardboard pieces.
I'm bleeding out. One more round and we're done.
You just sort of, oops, I've knocked all those pieces onto the floor. Let me just pick them up again.
I'll just push you down. Ah.
Yeah, round three, you've got pockets full of tokens and up your sleeves.
Energy shields.
Yeah. I'm just going to set like 4 battery banks. There we go.
What's to stop you from making your own pieces, like having a little bit of a Death Star cannon?
Just bring some Crayolas to the to the game. Yeah, brilliant.
It looks like your cannon's made of crayon, David. Oh, no, that's just how it came in the box.
Made it out of some M&Ms and a melted pen.
Gateway game? Or a little bit more than that?
Yeah, it's...
Define what you mean there by Matt.
Gateway game, sort of an introductory one you can just throw to a group of relatively inexperienced people or have not played that type of game before, and you can be up and running in no time. Or is it a little bit more to that? I know
more
that you've
the
got, there's a lot of luck element in there.
But I've known a few people that haven't been gamers that have played this and really enjoyed themselves, but they would have had one experienced person playing.
Yeah.
As well.
Which is, I think gateway games...
So the concept is...
A group of gamers who don't have I'm the more experienced player in my group, and so when I bring these games, there's someone that knows the little bits and pieces that would usually confuse people.
Yeah.
So with this one, I was taught by someone that knew most of the rules, but not all of them, so we kind of learnt together. And it doesn't take very long, because it's, like I said, the instructions are just plain as day. Yeah. It even uses, like, funny little... yellow boxes with little jokes about little things that come up in there and stuff. And so it's fun to read the instructions. Like, if a game's instructions are fun to read, you'll get it, because it's like you grok what's happening in the game.
Yeah.
And I would actually say this is one of the more... It's on the more expensive side of the Aaron Graham board game scale.
It's in the mid section.
No, it's in the upper.
It's higher.
Oh. It's got a lot of pieces, and it's got a very nice box and really nice...
And you've got Galaxy Trucker Big Box as well.
There's a Big Box expansion, which has, I think, 2 of the expansions that have come out in there, as well as the base game, which I might actually pick up because it's a lot of fun.
The developer of this game, we'll see a little bit later when we look at another game, because he's the same developer.
Ooh, that's interesting. Ooh.
Yeah,
foreboding, foreshadowing.
You'll
not
see.
Foreboding.
I think you'll see a lot of parallels between the design of the game, this game, and the design of that game.
Oh, right. Secret game.
Which is what I was going to say when Aaron was talking about. For anyone who's like new to board games and things like that, you often see similar mechanics come up, and they'll be coloured in differently or presented differently, but it's essentially the same dynamic. Mm-hmm. or mechanic. Yeah. And and once you've got a little bit of experience across several games, you just start plugging your mechanics in different orders, don't you? And you can take to a variety of games quickly.
There's something that I do get to mention magic on this one, because there's no space theme magic sets.
Magic does not get in. Yeah, go on.
Magic design's been going for like 20 years, and they've said almost every mechanic they've made is just a variation on one very early mechanic they make called Kicker, which is you can pay a little bit extra when you cast a spell from your hand, and everything is kind of just a little bit more on that. It's like you can pay some extra, or if you have this thing, or if you control another thing, you get a bonus. So everything's just Kicker, just kind of reworked, and it works for them because like from set to set, it's different. It's in a different context, so it's fresh. It's new, but you see that with a lot of games. Like you're like, this is a worker placement game. I'm just going to place workers, and then on a grid of some kind or something. Or you're limited by your actions, and you can see that those games are kind of pushed in those opposite directions. I hadn't played one like this before, where it's like building and then you do missions with that thing that you've built. Like usually it's like Agricola. Or something is, you build your farm. You don't actually farm on it, really. Once you have 50 cows, you can either eat them or leave them. Like, really.
Eat them.
Just eat them.
Yeah. Eat them, definitely.
Sell them to a larger chain network of fast food joints.
Agricola Corporate Edition.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, beautiful.
So Galaxy Trucker, a lot of fun. Good for new players to get involved in, and I'm looking forward to playing some more complex games in the future, hopefully with less blood than the first time I played.
It was ugly watching that happen. No, I left the store. I just couldn't watch it. I couldn't bear to see you get hurt that much.
I'm very much looking forward to playing in a big, big group and everyone just grab bagging that tiles at the start.
It's going to be one awesome. Sacrificial Galaxy Trucker game and just go, right, this game isn't going to see tomorrow. Yeah. Let's go.
Spatter it with blood and
just
gore.
Rip the components out. Like, leave them still in the cardboard frames and go around that. You just get him out.
Just go. Just pop it. You've got to pop him out yourself. As you go.
That'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
X-Wing. Star Wars X-Wing. This game I'm so excited about
because it looks gorgeous. It looks fantastic.
And yet I'm terrified of the old strategy, move 6 inches this way, fire this way. I'm terrified of that.
As soon
kind
as someone
stuff.
Whips out a tape measure in a game I'm playing, I'm like, no, I can't do it.
I'm so worried. But the pieces are beautiful, and we have Matt here who has played this game.
I have to say, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, George Lucas had no idea of where this was going to go.
Oh, man.
I have to say that he could not have pictured a miniatures game based on his franchise.
I always think that when someone's created something and then down the line something else is created. Like, I always think that with Lovecraft, if you could dig him up and reincarnate him and say, look at all this shit, you died in poverty, you're starving yourself to death, and look at all this. So everyone's ripping you off. But back to George, who's not dying in poverty.
He might. You never know where Star Wars Episode 7 could go.
I always think that's good as a side. You know, when someone, you see them on like a documentary, they go, it was tragic. They were really wealthy and they died in poverty. Tragic tale. No way. That's mission successful. You spent every last penny you earned, you know. All those greedy relatives going, come on, man, there's some money coming my way. No, crazy Aunt Lucy, she's spending a lot.
perfect. He died penniless in a pile of hookers and blow. Yeah. So tragic.
He died with a smile on his face. What a bastard.
You're absolutely
Star Wars X-Wing.
Oh, X-Wing.
You're absolutely on the money there, David, when you say that it's basically a battle in a box, you know, and that's what it's set up for two players straight out of the box, and you can have a very small X-Wing versus TIE fighter battle. Everything's there. They've solved the measurement mechanics nicely with templates. Mm-hmm. You just pop down, and that's the rule.
Oh, so
you move from one end of the template
three
to the
and
other.
A half inches when it should have been three,
and
or
then
whatever
just like
it is.
Nudging it forward with the elbow a little bit.
No, well, actually, I'll play with some very suspect people that all of a sudden, they're moving along the template, and when they get to the end of the template, it's about a millimeter or two in front of it, or it's just slightly to the side, and that does my head in not to say anything, but
it's like when you're watching the World Cup and the referee points to a spot, the free kick, and they just kind of like toss it over the ball, and they're like, yeah, there.
Those are
like,
the guys that you don't want to play against anyone. You don't want to play them at Star Wars.
I just have to remind myself that the person I'm playing is 12. So It's not time to beat them down just yet. But the components straight out of the box are just glorious. The X-Wings, they're coloured, so they're painted already, I should say. So you don't have to get out the brushes and the paints and all that sort of thing, because out of the box, they're done.
And the windshields, whatever the shields, the windows, they're like they're glossy and everything, and they look cool.
They look, but I suppose you could put like laser burns and stuff on them if you were so inclined.
I've seen, there's lots of instances on throughout the interweb where people have given them new paint jobs according to their favourite characters out of the novel series.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that customization.
You've got Rogue Squadron and that sort of thing all painted
up.
Was
it you that was telling me that they got the measurements off the models from the movie?
That's right. Yeah. So the scaled models are actually true to the original series, so how they were originally done. They then scaled it back to fit. So every ship in relative size to another is that actual size.
That's awesome, because I've seen the Millennium Falcon, and it's quite big compared to the TIE Fighters and X-Wings that you get in this one, and I was like, this is just going to dominate the board, but that's what it would be if you're playing.
It's very imposing, and it's probably, I think personally, it's the best ship in the whole release so far.
But is that skills or just there's a model?
I think it's a lot of options. It's customizable. You've got Han Solo in there as a pilot who's pretty
that's
shit
right,
hot.
Yeah.
Chewie, you've got as a co-pilot, gunner. Luke Skywalker's on there. So
can more than one person have that ship though? So if I rocked up and I've got Millennium Falcon and you go, I was going to play Millennium Falcon as well, have we both got Han Solo and
Chewbacca?
Is there
a point system?
There is a point system. So you agree on a points total. Typically, for you're looking around about 100 points. Mm-hmm. And so you construct your squadron. And that can consist of any ships within the Rebel Alliance or the Imperial side.
They don't really care about sides so much.
Sides? Oh, well, they're pretty strict. Mm-hmm. So you stay with the Rebels, stay with the Imperials. Okay. Unless you're house ruling your own thing. Mm-hmm. And so you've got an X number of points to build up to. So it might then pay for your ships. It then pays for your pilots.
Oh.
And now I have word to the wise, the Rebel pilots are worth a lot more than the Imperial pilots. That's why
they're faceless drones.
Yeah, that's why they're always outnumbered. however, the initiative lies with the Imperials. So even though they might have, they have more ships, they also get to go first.
Oh, yeah, but their pilots
are... That brings me to probably one of the best... The mechanics about this game is that whoever moves first, if the initiative's with the Imperials, the lowest number pilot, so it's your worst pilot, moves first all the way up to your best pilot moving last for both sides. And then when it comes to combat, it comes back down the other way. So you move first, shoot last. Move last, shoot first. And I think that's just sums up the capabilities of the pilots extremely well.
That's
really good. You don't want Wedge Antilles out there, moving first and then, completely missing the opportunity to shoot down a TIE fighter. You want him to be moving after everyone else's move, so he's got a good perspective of the battlefield and then has the best reaction he can come through and shoot down a TIE fighter before it even gets a chance to hit him.
That's cool.
That's
so
excellent.
That's one of the brilliant mechanics of this game. The number of expansions that have come out, the waves at the moment. So they started off with the X-Wings and the TIE Fighter straight out of the box.
Yeah, so tell us what comes in the original
miniatures box. Yeah. In the first box, you get two TIE Fighters and one X-Wing. Mm-hmm. Included in the pilots, you have your iconic pilots such as Luke Skywalker, Garvin Dreiss, who was the Red Leader.
Oh, yeah.
You also have...
Biggs, is it
Biggs? Yeah, Biggs Darklighter, who, one
you've
of...
You've got R2-D2 and stuff in there as well.
R2. Mm-hmm.
It's got Maul and Myth, someone or other.
Yeah. So this is where it gets very great. If you're not very familiar with the Imperial side of things, you start to lose who are the actual Imperial parts. Where do they pull these names out of their asses?
Yeah.
But no, they actually, when you look in the credit scripts for the movies, you can see they actually have names. So they've taken the time to give them the characters' names, which are drawn from the series or the novels.
There's something that they've done a lot where there's canon and there's not canon in the Star Wars universe. And the non-canon stuff, they half-ass it so much because they just throw whatever they want at it to make the whatever crappy video game or phone game, and it's just like some random thing and his lightsaber's like blue and red spirals or some shit.
Oh,
and
like then,
but in this
something.
It's like It's true to it. Like, if you play the game, you're playing the game. You're playing the pilots.
The X-Wings, the maneuverability is catered for as well. So the X-Wings are heavily armored, so they've got shields, yet they move a little bit like, you know, trucks.
Yeah.
And then you've got the TIE fighters, very maneuverable, very quick, but no shield, one kill sort of thing. Well, basically, you can wear their hull points away, so it might take 3 shots to kill a TIE fighter, where it would take 5 to kill an X-Wing.
And they've got TIE bombers, and what are the other ones with the interceptors?
The interceptors, so that goes into the wave releases. The second wave release included the iconic Y-fighter, Y-Wing, and also...
B-Wings?
B-Wings have come out recently, along with...
the A-Wing,
the Hawks.
The A-Wings.
A-Wing.
So the Hawk, which is from the expanded universe. That's the Kyle Katarn's ship.
Oh, yep, yep.
But then recently you see the Lambda-class shuttle, which is one of the big boys.
Now that surely isn't taking anybody down.
Yeah, it doesn't have guns.
That's just like for Darth to ponce around pressing the chairs.
That's it,
isn't it? It's like, I'm in the Star Destroyer. I'm just going down to Endor just to hassle somebody.
Force choke someone.
Can
you force choke
the
people?
The force is strong with this one.
We've gone all out for sound effects and special whiz-bang things,
haven't
we?
This is terrible.
So, speaking to your can, folks, put deep voice into the can. It's great fun.
Deep voice into the can.
And then we're all impressing chicks. All we need is a Lambda-class shuttle.
That's it. You put the wings down on
Sam,
that thing.
Sam would
have
one. Sam's got one of those, isn't
he? Oh, I'm sure he
does. Parked next to his Lotus.
Pick up an Ewok.
Tune in for last week's episode to find out how rich Sam is.
You've got the slave. Well, speaking of rich pilots, you know, got Boba Fett's Slave One. Yeah.
My favorite ship in the whole series. I love this from when I was a kid to now. It's just, I mean, it's ugly. It flies upright. It looks
cool. Munted.
It's the first time, you know, like all the spaceships are always designed to have like a pointy end and to drive like a car. I thought, why? There's no resistance up there. He takes off and he goes vertical and just travels along in the least wind resistant way. And I'm thinking, that's my kind of
flat. And
take up as much room as you can. Yeah. Look big in space.
No finesse at all.
You see that coming to it, you go, well, that ship's big. And then he flattens out and he goes, there's nothing there. Oh. It's like a one seater.
And when it lands, it's just like lands like a normal ship. And you're it's going to fly forwards. Oh, no, it's going to upright itself and just fly awkwardly.
Totally awesome.
At you like half of an egg.
Yeah, it is. It's half an
egg. It is half an egg. You're right.
I'm going to go home, boil up a few eggs, cut them. From top to bottom.
And make my own Slave One. I don't need to pay for the miniatures.
They're going to be smelly after 2.5 weeks. So.
Intimidate your opponents. Smelly Slave One.
Interesting thing is the new release is coming out. There's another wave coming shortly, which includes more interceptors, but they're specific to units. So they're, I can't remember off the top of my head which ones they are, but they've got paint jobs, like specific paint jobs, identifies them as being from the universe and being these shit hot pilots.
Oh, that's cool.
So you know who to shoot down.
That's for the lost target. You might as well put a big bullseye on the side, repaint them.
Yeah.
But and then later than that, I guess the Rebels will be coming out with their own version of the, and it's crack pilots. You know, shit hot pilots.
Yeah.
You know, Jack Porkins will be in there.
I love a bit of Jack Porkins. I don't know Jack Porkins.
Everyone who knows will know who Porkins is.
Jennifer Hawkins' brother.
Yeah, Jack Porkins. Why did his last name change?
Because it sounds same.
Jack Porkins.
Anyway, the true people out there, they'll know who Porkins is. Mm-hmm. And coming out then later are some of the capital ships, which are not to scale. So they've slightly gone away from the scale to produce these, because otherwise they'd be too big, too intimidating, and just useless on a
But they would be awesome.
They look awesome. From what I've seen, they look awesome as they are. Mm-hmm. They include the transport ship from
The bubbly one with It's a Trap.
Yeah, from Hoth. Ah, and then there's also the Tantive from the very first movie, which is that very first ship you see on the Star Wars
movie. The one that
slides
across
the thing. One that slides across, that gets shot down.
The one that Princess Leia's in.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. That's
cool.
The one that, I guess, you could say started it all.
Yeah. Mm. Looks like a dumbbell flying, the square dumbbell flying through space.
that's it, yeah. That's how I'm putting it, yeah.
And so, eventually you'll get Star Destroyers and stuff as well.
Oh, I'd imagine. Who knows?
And a Death Star, which would be like the size of a...
Like a
big
an exercise ball?
Yeah, like an exercise
like a planet.
Ball.
It's a planet-sized thing, right? And then I've got this like little X-wing. And I'm gonna
shake
that
down.
I suppose they can only take it so far.
The board is the Death Star. They bring out 3D boards.
Oh, that's good.
That you put on a regular size exercise ball, and you got to fly your X-wing in and around its
channels.
They
should have like the channel attack, or whatever they call it.
Trench run. That'd be cool.
And it's also hollow, so you can go inside and shoot the shield generator.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Right after we buy everything like Google and Apple and all that sort of shit, make it ours, we bring out this idea.
Yeah.
There's going to be no money on the planet that isn't ours.
I've got to wonder how far they can go with this, though, with this idea, because it seems to me like they're sticking to the original series. So
you're not going to be getting Naboo starfighters and stuff?
But you know what? I hope not.
I was going to say, like, because I'm of an odd age where I very much appreciated the original trilogy, but episode 1 through 3 were, like, movies that I watched when I was, like, 9 or 10.
But it was so confusing, though.
Yeah, this, like what's I literally just watched it for the lightsaber battles and the spaceship things and Gungans getting shot.
Yeah.
But, like, I played the Starfighter game. I played that on the computer. That's, like, one of the first computer games that I played. And it's like, obviously, in retrospect, the movies aren't great compared to the whole thing. But that's something you would sell a lot of them, I think, because people just like it because it's just stuff.
But I will admit to it in every podcast that we ever do. I like things that look good, and then I worry about whether they screen well or there's a good story there or if they play well later on. And so, you know, when I first saw the episodes 1, 2, and 3, I was just like, it looks beautiful.
Yeah,
how could it be
so
wrong?
Good,
and it's like, it just must be me. I just don't get some of the things that are happening. Mm-hmm. I'll figure them out later on.
Yeah.
And then I think just for later, I think it's like a Red Letter Media or something like that. There's a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And he just goes through and he just like...
Demolishes it
and just points out all these things that you kind of half think to yourself when you're watching the series. He's going, oh, man, that doesn't make sense. Yeah. And he just brings all those out. So you can get the starter box and just go for it.
You'll find, as I did, you don't want to stop there. It wasn't long before I got myself a second starter box. And then a couple of TIE fighters and a couple of X-Wing expansions to field at least. You can't get to that 100 points in one box. The maximum you can get is about 60. And that's great to start the game, but then it's very unsatisfying very quickly.
But the minis are so good, though. It's going to be one of those games, I bet, where the minis don't stay in the box whilst you're not playing. Because I would have all of these on my shelf or hanging up little bits of fishing wire on the ceiling. I'm missing an X-Wing somewhere. Oh, it's up there hanging off the ceiling.
Mine are sitting on my shelf. Yeah, I have to say, they're not in the box. And you see why when you look at the Millennium Falcon, you're not putting that back in a box.
No, it's way good.
Back to the mechanics, just very quickly. It's got that programmable aspect in it where you're trying to outthink or outplay your opponent. So you've got to program your move into the little maneuver dial before you actually move. So you're trying to think. And a lot of parallels to Wings of War or Wings of Glory, if anyone has played those before.
That's
where you're trying to plan ahead. It's a World War II fire
combat.
So you're trying to outplay your opponent by turning your dial, setting how far you want to move, what direction you want to move, and then hoping that they haven't anticipated your move, and then you force a mid-air collision, or you're putting yourself right in front. Spaces. How many Ds?
Yeah.
How many Ds are you
saying?
Is there still only 3 Ds?
Oh, yeah.
9 Ds.
3 Ds. So you assume that you're not going to crash into someone unless you land right on top of their base. Then there's a chance. But otherwise, you're going to pass under them to the side, that sort of thing. But so there's always that aspect, that danger, that the maneuver you do is going to put you right in front of the guns. They're going to line you up.
And they're just aiming at your back, and you're like,
you've got nothing to do about it, you can do about it, only defend, which is where the cards and the customization comes in. You can put the pilot you want in there, give them skills that give them better roles, better outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's dice-based for the combat and for attack and defense.
Yeah.
And so you're rolling these handfuls of dice to see who gets the better outcomes, hits. And I found it's quite easily to get results where nothing happens. But that's not unsatisfying. It's actually quite satisfying, yeah, even as the attacker. It's frustrating for the attacker.
You've just always got to be in a position where you can, when you do get it, you get them.
Like, to have the advantage. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, always. So flanking, attack from behind, that sort of thing, makes it very powerful and difficult to defend. It's just, especially when your defense dice is one or two dice.
Yeah.
And that can become quite frustrating.
So they're pretty fragile, some of the ships, are they?
They are. Well, the A-Wings, for example, very fragile. They still have shields, but maneuverable as all hell. Mm.
Oh, I want to play. I really want to play.
What's the learning curve like?
It's very easy. It's, it's strategy. Yeah. Your own strategy and style of play is the learning curve. Because you get all the cards. You've got options. You've got the point system, which limits you to how much you can spend. And then basically it's down to how you maneuver the ship.
Yeah. I just like to think of the physical playing the first game where it's just like an X-Wing and some TIE fighters just like going around in space, like snaking around each other and just not shooting because no one knows what they're doing. They're like, oh, God, what am I doing?
Jesus. The button to press. Where's my lasers button?
Where's the shoot button? Oh, it's a dive.
You press a button and your fuel flap opens up on the side.
Oh, no.
I'm turning left. I really meant to turn right.
Which way's left?
The indicators are on, darling.
But, in fact, if you look, one of the very first photos taken from Good Games to James was, in fact, of a Star Wars, of an X-Wing battle I had.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the very first photos.
Yeah. That's true.
I really want to play now.
And do we have a league? We have an X-Wing league?
We had an X-Wing league that was running a couple... it ranges the amount of people that play, but when they come in, it's a lot of fun to even just watch from a distance. I don't know what's going on. Didn't know the mechanics.
Because
I think everyone that could play a Millennium Falcon was playing a Millennium Falcon, though, because they just look awesome and they dominate the board. They're so big.
Yeah, they can. They're definitely the strengths to some. And part of the strategy is your configuration of your fleet.
Mm-hmm.
Of your squadron. Yeah. So, yeah.
We get to come back to this game one day, because I want to take it a level deeper. It's like, how would you take down the Millennium Falcon? What would you do? If someone's got that, you're going, right, that's a strong ship. How do you get rid of it?
Well, it's built like a tank.
He's not answering the question. How would you take it out?
Throw a grenade in its thruster.
Well, it's got a 360 gun as well, so that gives it an added defense. So it can take you on from any direction.
That's ridiculous.
It's wearing it away. Swarm it, wear it away, take down those shields, and take down those hull points.
Or force choke Han Solo.
Yeah.
From my Lambda class shuttle. Sounds like a lot of fun.
No, we need to crack this out and play a proper game.
Yeah, I think
Matt
so.
Can guide us through it.
That's it. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, X-Wing, I can't recommend it highly enough. Go out there, grab it from Good Games, your local friendly,
friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
It says two player on here, but can you play with more players?
You can. You team up. I've played 2-on-2. I've played 2-on. 2-on-1, where one player is the rebels, and then two players share control of the Imperials.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So that works.
Yeah.
I've also played some variants where if the Imperial parts to get that effect of more just endless tides until the objective's completed by the rebels.
Oh yeah.
More Imperial ships just come on and come on and come on and come on. You know, so
exciting.
As they drive,
so you've got to be a really good rebel pilot and take them all down.
Yeah, yeah, and get the objective done.
Excellent.
So yeah. That's X-Wing, Star Wars X-Wing
miniatures game.
Fantastic. Okay, so we've got Escape from the Aliens in Outer Space, which I'm never confident about saying the name accurately.
It's a pretty stupid name.
It's good because it tells you exactly what you've got to do. Escape from the Aliens in Outer Space. Now, for the person who loves the beautiful boxes and the beautiful components, I got the game with the black box.
Yep.
You have to turn it on an angle to see the little logo on the front, which I think is the human. There's a human on there.
I literally thought it was a black box.
I saw it from a different angle. It's a different colour. Is it not?
It's a blue?
Yeah, it looks blue.
Blue when you tilt it?
Yeah. Wow, that's so covert.
I didn't read the instructions for this one. I was just told how to play it by someone else. Goal of the game, is it like the goal? Escape from the aliens in outer space.
It is exactly that. This is probably, it's so accessible, so easy to get to.
Mm-hmm.
You have some humans and you have some aliens. The aliens have to track down and kill the humans before they get to the escape ports. That's one of the versions.
Yeah.
And you track this by having a map. The first map that you play is on the Galilei, and I think these are space hulks that you're on, and the aliens have a start point, and the humans have a start point.
Mm-hmm.
You move through the spaceship covertly, just tracking where you are. Aliens can move two, humans can move one, so the aliens have an advantage there because nobody knows where anybody is. And at the beginning, nobody knows who's a human, who's an alien.
Yeah, so the tension of this game comes from being dealt a human or an alien card at the start, and you can play from 2 to 4 players, and there'll either be... if there's
two to eight players.
Yeah. Sorry. And if there's odd numbers, it's always in the aliens' favor.
That's right, yeah.
And the tension comes from every time you take a space, you can land on a noise area.
Well, yeah, it's a, what are they called? Unsecured.
Unsecured area.
Sector and a safe sector.
And when you enter an unsecured, when you finish your turn, because you're taking moves secretly until you finish your turn in an unsecured sector, and then you have to draw a card, and the card either says
noise in your sector,
or
noise in any sector, and then silence. So the advantage of noise in your sector is that it forces you to say I'm exactly, and you give your coordinates. Yep. Noise in any sector, you just lie.
You make it up.
You say wherever you are, and then silence. You just go, there's silence in all sectors, so you get a go off. So obviously, if you're the aliens and a human says I'm, you know, at K-12, then you sort of make a little bit of a note and you sort of plan your, they could be there, or was that a bullshit
card?
Was
it lying? Yeah.
Yeah. So then you've got to sort of track them. And when you're a human, you track your lies as well. And you just start saying you can be all over the place and they've got to follow you. But get a couple of red cards in a row and they can start going, he was here. And then he was like, that was 2 rounds ago. He's 2 squares away and he seems to be heading towards port one. You head up there and block it off and try to nuke the guy.
But then also you can move and counter move depending on... Because you, while you're tracking your moves and your lies, you're trying to track everyone else's moves and what they're lying about. And if they've gotten green a few times in a row, it means they could have lied 3 times in a row. Yeah. But if they got red, they could have been telling the truth. But then at one point they lie and you go off in that way and then... There's silence for a while and you have no idea where they are, and then they pop up somewhere on the other side of the map.
And then you start getting an idea who the aliens are and who the humans are, because...
the humans can only move one, so they're just like very slowly and you walking.
It sort of becomes apparent, and then you can sort of work together and say, okay, we're both aliens. It seems like this guy's heading off to... we did that, didn't we? It was like, I think it was me and Dave, and you were a human on 2 occasions.
Yeah.
And we just immediately started ganging up. And I still think you escaped, didn't you?
I feel I can trust you.
Yeah.
It was like that.
The first time we played with 4 of us, and I was one of the 2 humans. My human compatriot got slaughtered in an unfortunate slaughtering accident. And but I was very carefully planning my moves and lies. And obviously, I knew that Dave and David were the 2 aliens at this point.
Because
so
we're always the bad guys. No matter how you deal the cards
always.
Out.
I'm not sure Dave can play a good guy in a game. I would not trust him. Is this
Dave or David?
Dave.
Yeah. He's always... But you never trust him.
Oh,
in a game. He's always
like that. From the outset, you're planning your lies.
Yeah. Constantly planning your lies.
Yeah, and then there's variants of this. There's a few made scenarios on the back. There's Infection, Arena, and Old School. Mm-hmm. I like the Infection scenario
Infection's
idea.
Infection's good.
Because when the aliens catch the human, they become an alien, and they're after catching the remaining humans
as
well.
So space zombies. Yeah.
And you also get...
Underwater space zombies.
And you also get
underwater space zombie Nazi pirates.
In the advanced game, you can also have a clause on the escape hatches, where a human can get to the escape.
That was the worst. That was the worst.
That was great. Aaron got to an escape hatch and he says, I'm escaping through this escape hatch. He declared it, flipped the card, escape hatch broken. So then Dave and I, we know where he is because he's just tried to open that escape.
You can't lie about which escape hatch you're... And I was like, oh, God.
And they're coming.
And they're only moving... Humans are only moving one step at a time, right?
So I had to kind of like go in a circle and then go. And then there was noise in my sector. Noise in my sector, and David just killed me.
Yeah. And you also get item cards then as well that you can introduce to the game, which have got things like the humans can attack.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Aliens and teleport, which can get you back to the human sector. Sedative, spotlight, defense, which can fend off you're not affected by an alien attack. And adrenaline, allowing you to move too. The only thing, we didn't play it too many times to get a good grasp of it, but we thought there might need to be like a house rule on aliens and humans, how they interact with the event cards, because you can collect event cards, aliens can't play them. So a human could have 2 event cards in front of him. Was it a hand size of 3 or 5?
Yeah, 3.
Three. So you, as an alien, you collect three, you pick up another one, you just discard one. A human might get two and play one. Alien never does that.
Yeah,
so
an alien can't play
you've
items.
You've got three cards in front of you and you just keep discarding. You're definitely an alien, yeah. Right? So you kind of know.
And Dave just kept picking up items and I was like, alien, you're immediately an alien.
Yeah. And then, so if you're hunting someone down, you go, right, he's discarding event cards. He's a human. I'm going to listen in on where he is, where his location is.
Yeah, it's more likely that's going to be the truth.
That sounds like, you know, very much a giveaway.
Yeah,
it
is. So I think house rule is if you're an alien, you just play a card. And also there's maybe something to fix up about whether you declare what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're teleporting back to the human sector or something like that, maybe you just play it and you just record that. You don't announce it.
Yeah, I'm sure that aliens are competent enough to use a human's teleporter. Why can't they teleport?
Well,
we don't have any backstory here.
The alien might not necessarily have to do it. You just, you know, you can make the house rule that you just can just go, right, I'm playing this event card and I'm doing the...
Oh, and it could do anything. And you don't know whether
you don't do anything.
Yeah,
but you just say, "I've just played that," and I'll be going from there.
They've been kind enough to provide a map editor and a scenario creation tool.
Yes, so that's cool.
A lot of replayability, and you can create your own scenarios there based on your own backstories.
We played the base game, which was a pretty simple hex grid, which is just you can move practically anywhere. In the six directions around you. But there are a few other scenarios in there. One is which we're in a narrow corridor. That's kind of... there's some that are literally like 30, maybe 40 spaces.
Yeah, the first one's quite big. There's a lot of... Mm-hmm. It's like goes from A to W and there's 14 rows. So there's loads. Where this one is H to P and there's 13... Rose.
I was able to dodge around Dave and David both actively hunting me just by backtracking, going through a silent zone. And so I was always one step ahead of them because the grid was so big. In that one, there'd be so much tension between you could just take a wrong step down a corridor and the alien's like, well, you're there. I'll just attack this section. Yeah.
Yeah. You're buying the cards and the rules and the game and all that sort of stuff. And they're good that they've got that website where you can go to and make up multiple maps and stuff. So,
My question is, how many scenarios are there included in the box? Because I'm looking at these maps and they're all the same, which is why I guess there are pencils.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, we were discarding the Galileo ones is a lot.
Because there's heaps of the original one,
but then it goes in the Fermi and what's that going?
So it's the type of thing you'd want to go and actually photocopy the maps, so that you're not using the original.
But I'd say, if you get your usual game of friends, you want to graduate into the tougher scenarios.
Into the more interesting scenarios with a lot more tension.
And you can make up your own scenarios as well, you know.
We didn't play any of the more complicated. We probably could have looked up some or something. But
It's just, you can just apply a narrative to it as well, couldn't you? You know, it's like we're going from this space hulk. We've got to get out of this escape port.
Like an actual space hulk. Maybe we should have talked a little bit about space hulk today. That game's fun.
I've got the older one. The first printing of that, actually.
Oh, wow. Because it was a super limited run.
No, that's the first printing, though. Which is
the first printing was the old...
Early 90s.
That's right. With all the not the super ramped up one now, where everything has power swords.
And chain fists and stuff.
The miniatures that look awesome. Mm-hmm. No, but you get that very much feel walking down corridors, things popping out at you from blips that may not be
Gene
there.
Stealers. Which are not ripped off aliens at all.
Nothing like
HR Geiger's getting not paid for any royalties
Gene
for that because they don't look
stealers.
Anything like
because they steal different. Your jeans.
They steal your jeans, that's right, and leave you with nothing.
No pants at all.
I would like to say escape from aliens in outer space. It's like escape from a spaceship Battleships in a way.
From the game Battleships in space.
It was quite good though, wasn't it? It was like
I very much enjoyed it.
We had a bit of tension in it, which is good. I like those nobody knows what each other are trying to do kind of games, and there's a bit of paranoia involved.
You might have to do some of those traitor themed.
The next theme pod will be traitors. We'll mention that later on.
Oh yeah,
it'll be exactly what we just said then. But we'll...
Space alert.
Space alert. Yes, you would recognize him as the developer of
Galaxy Truckers.
And also produced by the Czech Games Edition and published by Rio Grande Games.
This looks so different to Galaxy Truckers. Like a dude actually in distress on the front, whereas Galaxy Truckers is just a happy man in his ramshackle
pinball machine flying through space.
Say that this game creates that atmosphere, that tension. Mm-hmm. It has come as one of those new trends in games where they provide a CD, an MP3 soundtrack or whatever, that is basically the game.
Yeah.
You can play this in 20 minutes sort of thing, easy. Yeah. And you can set your watch by how long you want to play because you go in. The story is a new space team that's been assembled after the old team has been sent out into space and then not come back.
That's crazy.
Come back.
They're always doing that. Never be in the advance party because they never come back.
The problem, the way to solve this is just send more people.
Go scout out that new section that we know nothing about. We haven't heard anything from them in a while.
Hang on, Captain Aaron. Have you sent anyone out there already?
Oh, yeah.
You have?
Lots.
So I would be the second party.
Yes.
Oh, I'm in. I'll do that.
Yeah.
Into the second party.
Yeah.
The stories are always about the second party.
The after party. Yeah. Don't want to be at the primary party. That's no good. I'll just put this red shirt on. Is that fits me quite well?
Hey, do you want to come to the after party?
not really.
So true to form, your players take on the roles of the crew of the spaceship, and you're sent out to survey dangerous sectors of the galaxy because dangerous sectors are the ones you need to visit.
Don't go to those safe ones, beautiful ones where there's fruit of all sorts of...
The one where the Na'vi live, you know that one? It's nice, there's those fruits and those weird horses that you connect your head to.
Most
generic space movie ever.
What's the Na'vi from?
Avatar.
The indigenous population.
The indigenous population of that one with the silly name.
Yeah.
It's Pocahontas in space. Stupid.
Pocahontas. Yeah.
I don't think Aaron dances
with wolves if they were blue.
Dances with wolves. It's
Disney
space.
Eyes and. Oh no. Story for another time. It's a shagging Smurf story. No. There's no story. Forget about that. I never said anything. Zero story.
We're going to stop this podcast now because we want to hear the story.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Matt. Or we could back just go to on. Matt with the content.
So as I mentioned,
you should be here every week, Matt.
We can get through it so much quicker.
As I mentioned, you've got 10 minutes, and that comes from the CD player, or you can actually get it online, so you can listen to the soundtrack over your laptop or whatever if you don't want to use the CD. As a crew, you're setting up the defences of the ship. So in that 10-minute period of time, you've got threats being identified, and they come under... Your ship's broken up to three areas, red, white and blue, external or internal threats. And so what happens is the computer voice, which is
internal...
sexy female voice.
It's not Holly from Red Dwarf.
No, that's not Holly. We'll tell you that there's an alert in sector red, white or blue, and it'll tell you whether it's an internal or external threat. And
it's an internal threat.
You then draw
a card. Syphilis, and you just have to practice safe sex in your ship now.
Yeah, prophylactic up, everybody. Prophylactic up. There's an internal alert. We don't want this spreading.
My insides
especially
are on fire.
So the hot navigator. We'd leave her alone.
Spaceship lady.
Yeah. Spaceship lady. Now, what position do you hold on this starship? I'm the spaceship lady.
Why do you have such a deep voice? Spaceship lady.
I'm the spaceship lady.
This ship has not been fitted with contraceptive upgrades.
Oh, no, you just go over that thing that Captain Picard gets his, you know, when he goes like Earl Grey, hot. Warm, lukewarm. No, you just go contraceptive, unwrapped, banana flavour.
Banana flavour?
Cheese and onion flavour.
Yeah.
Space lady, bring me my captain's thing.
The captain's thing.
And you're, psh, psh, it smells like cheese and onion in here.
Get out.
Oh dear! So this played over two like what would you call them?
Rounds.
Rounds, yeah. Yes, call them two rounds. So there's the one that's the planning phase, which is like that very strong programmable aspect.
Mm.
What are you going to do in reaction to these threats as they pop out? So you say, oh, I'm going to... You put down your cards. I'm going to move from here to here. Go and... send energy up to the lasers, and then I'm going to race up to the down, across to the core and send more energy, so we have more energy to use in future turns. And then while you're up there on the second level, you might be firing the lasers. So you've got to go to the laser station, you've got to activate it, and then you can go to catch a turbo lift down to the bottom to fire the laser. It creates that tense. You're listening to the soundtrack, you're playing cards out in front of you. You've only got a very limited amount of time to play the cards, and once they're there, you can't change them. So you've got, depending on the scenario, you might have several rounds, micro rounds. So you're planning for each stage. And then what happens is you've completed that aspect. You then shut off the CD and you get into carrying out the mission. So it's almost got that Blair Witch found footage type aspect thing to it, where you're planning, then you're going to see how the hell your planning went.
So how many different soundtracks are there with the CD or the MP3 files? Because isn't that the limiting factor of how many times you can play it and it be surprising?
I'm not quite sure how many there are in total. There are quite a few. And they vary in difficulty. I even found, I remember playing this with Dave,
so it's got 16 soundtracks on there.
There you go.
That's plenty. By the time you played the 16th one, you would have forgotten the first one.
If I'd played the second one, I would forget the first one.
The difficulty factor. And you can actually program it so you want more higher difficulty, lower difficulty as well by removing or including certain cards. And that might be your enemy cards.
Yeah.
So then you go, you see how your ship went, all your planning. Did it fall to shit and everybody just panicked and died? Or did it hold together and you ended up having this great adventure where you brought back valuable data and you can now go out and find more dangerous areas to explore? Or, you know, if the ultimate thing is if you fail, your ship is destroyed and it's time to train a new crew.
Oh, lovely.
So there you go. You can send out the third party. You're not competing against each other. You're working cooperatively.
Oh, yeah. Pandemic in space with more atmosphere.
That's good. And the CD really does create that atmosphere, I think.
That's awesome. I saw here, I haven't seen this award from the Kritika Press, the board game awards that they do in Germany. I know that like most of the famous games have won them, Agricola, Catan, and that sort of thing. This one won the New Worlds of Gaming from the Spiel des Jahres. And I think it's just because they're moving more towards this media other than board games to supplement the board games thing now.
Multimedia
approach. This must implement it in a really unique way, and then other things are following suit with this. Because I've heard a lot about this, but
this is
like soundtrack based games. You feel like soundtracks could suit a lot of them because you need that kind of atmosphere to make the whole thing work.
And you can have like this is another sellable idea, you know, like smartphone sort of things where you Bluetooth in with each other.
I've got to tell you about Space Team. It's fantastic.
Space Team. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to bring that up as well. It's the most amazing game.
Okay,
we'll get
there. It looks like we're winding up. Space Alert.
Well, there's not much to say. It's a very strong game. Absolutely drenched, soaking in theme.
Love it.
And high replayability.
And they've started on expansions now.
They are expansions. Yes, the new Frontier. Yeah. So that's the new expansion. I mean, it's been out for a while.
Yeah.
It is in that sort of higher price game.
But it looks like you get
Aaron's mid-price range, isn't it?
Is it mid-price? I forgot
what the brackets are. We need to put that on the website.
It has the tutorial sort of aspect to it as well.
Oh,
so
that's
it
good.
Doesn't just dump you in it. Yeah. It sort of builds you up and shows you, you know, tells you what to leave out to have an introductory game experience.
So that would be Holly.
Couple of missions are tutorial.
Leave it out.
A lot of fun. If you played Robo Rally, it's got the programming your moves is
like
not
Robo
a
Rally.
New aspect. You know, Robo Rally has that programmable aspect. So this just introduces it before you actually go out and have your adventure. You do it all before, and then you see how well you worked as a team. If you didn't gel as a team, then you're going to F it up, and really, it's going to fall apart. And that's what happened the first time I played it.
Aaron's top 10.
Top 10. Space Edition.
Space.
Today I'm going to review 10 games that Star Wars have created. Video games. I'm gonna go a little bit cross-platform here. I've enjoyed a lot of Star Wars things without really realizing it. I don't even think of them as being related to the franchise anymore.
That's because you have no idea about episodes 4, 5, and 6. Isn't that what you were saying?
That's an episode 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
What?
They're coming out soon.
My favorite character is Jar Jar.
Straight to DVD. Yeah. Well, it's a Blu-ray now. Straight to Blu-ray.
It's the 7, 8, 9 we're worried about. The Disney years.
Yeah, the Disney years.
Yeah.
I can just imagine them changing that helmet to include the ears.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they're like in all the like the Stormtrooper eyes and everything. They're like, oh, they're so cute. They've already got Disney eyes. Like those blue women off Naboo.
Of
Naveena.
Naveena.
Navria.
Navi?
Avatar Land.
Avatar Land, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to go through my top 10 Star Wars games with an honorable mention.
Number 10.
No, honorable mention.
Oh, an honorable mention first.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Honorable mention.
The Force Unleashed, which was the first game you could use your Wii remote to pretend to be a lightsaber with. That's it. That's all I have to say about that game. That was the only redeeming factor of that
game.
You
got to pretend to be a lightsaber?
I got to pretend to be a lightsaber. You are the lightsaber, and the thing you're holding in your hand is an awkward offshoot of that lightsaber. Right. You stand very still
when you were waving your when you were waving your Wi-Fi thing around. Not your Wi-Fi, your Wii remote. Did it go...
Yes, it does. There's a little speaker in the Wii remote that makes the lightsaber noises.
That'd get
a long
way, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It sounds like Elmer Fudd trying to say, that's a Wii remote.
That's a Wii remote.
Wii remote, man. All right, number 10.
Number 10. Attack of the Clones on Game Boy Advance. You jump, you slash, you're Obi-Wan Kenobi, you hit a droid with your lightsaber. That's the end. Number 10.
Fire rounds. This is your top 10. Top. A top 10.
They're not very
good. You've scythed off hundreds to see it. All right, number 9.
Number 9. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3
what?
Had an unlockable character you could skateboard as Darth Maul.
Now that's cool. Now that is cool. Tony Hawk's which one?
Pro Skater 3 on PS1.
Oh. Actually, if anyone was going to be a skater, it would be Darth Maul.
It would be him. He's got crazy hair. He's got tattoos and a little robe.
Oh. He should have been like Michael J. Fox, though, in like an orange puffer jacket. That would have been cool. Like
hoverboard.
Yes. Incidentally, one more year.
Oh, one more year until hoverboards are invented.
Every year on the internet somewhere, someone
does that
shit. Spunks up the digital thing, goes, it's this year.
And everyone goes, no, it's not.
Why don't they just wait?
Yeah, just wait until the actual one.
It's 2015, is it?
I believe so.
Yeah. That's the real one.
Number eight. Top 10.
This is a bad list. The Star Wars Angry Birds version. I've actually heard it's quite a good game.
Don't bag
He's
that.
Put it in at number 8. He hasn't even played it.
I've heard it's good.
Yeah, I downloaded them all, onto my iPad. But, the amount of time I play them,
We're off to such a strong start.
They're all the same.
The games review, every single game we reviewed, I was like, I need to play this almost as soon as we finish this pod. It was like I wanted to talk with you into playing one of these games. Now we're talking about Angry Birds. I'm just like... it's like air coming out of a balloon.
I didn't want to do.
He's going to finish strong. Aaron's top 7.
I didn't want to do just a top 3, which was really what this list was about showcasing.
So we've got four. We've got four filler.
Four gravity. Well, no, we've got 7 filler. They're all
until we get to the 3.
Number 7 of the PlayStation 1, Star Wars Demolition, which was not really related to Star Wars very much at all, apart from by name. You just drive around. It's like a bad demolition derby game.
So it cost them a fortune to get the franchise name, and then it was just...
Rubbish. It was crap. Oh, it was so bad.
I'm hurting.
The only good thing about that game was the Hoth level, where you have to shoot a cable and tie it around the legs of an AT-AT.
AT-AT? It's the four-legged ones.
Yeah. That was the only good bit of that game. The rest of it was just like ramming into people with your badly pixelated...
Okay.
Swamp machine.
Matt looks disgusted.
Wow. I am. I'm appalled.
Yeah. Number six.
Number six, Age of Empires in Space. It's Star Wars Galactic Battlegrounds. Instead of having heroes or something from there, you could have Darth Vader just cutting through swathes of enemies with his lightsaber while you build things.
So these are all electronic games.
Electronic games.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I just missed out on all of these, and I can see why.
Yeah, they're not fantastic. The ones, the good ones are good. When, like, this is what
we're
going
to get to those, aren't we?
We'll get to those.
All right, number five.
Number five.
Is this warm? Is this getting warm? Is this getting close to the good stuff?
Kids like this one.
Three's where it kicks off, isn't it?
Lego Star Wars, number five.
Well, that's not bad, is it?
That was fun.
That's Lego Star Wars. That's fun, I agree. That's actually a lot of
Lego,
fun.
Yeah. All the Lego stuff seems to be good
fun. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Played it with my brother a lot. Jump around, do some silly things, collect some Lego heads.
Everyone falls apart.
Everyone falls apart. You turn into those little bit things and you collect
Lego
them.
Bricks.
Spend them as money so you can run around as Princess Leia with a lightsaber.
You know they've got a movie coming out, right?
Yeah, the Lego movie?
Lego Star Wars movie.
How are they even going to... What's it... I don't understand what it is.
Is it a reenactment of the real thing? Or is it a whole new story?
I just kids playing with Lego.
It's a whole new story?
Well, I don't know. I don't know whether it's CG or it's actual, you know, stop capture.
Oh, I just hope it's not stop capture. That would be very bad.
We can't do that anymore.
but we are
past the days of stop motion animation.
I'm not sure if they include Star Wars characters in there, but there's certainly there's Batman and there's the Lord of the Rings characters. So nothing seems left untouched.
They're going to make no money because of the licensing that they had to pay. Terrible.
Yeah. It's Lego. Lego own most of the world anyway.
Oh, yeah, they do, don't they? Yeah.
Yeah, they do. But is it stop motion capture? There's a motion in there somewhere.
Stop motion animation.
Like, forget everything that's ever been done. Go and watch Sober by Tool, the video.
Sober. S-O-B-E-R?
Yeah.
Okay. So is that stop motion animation?
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The best kind.
Yeah.
I saw a really great shirt at the festival I was at. It was two Lego men having sex, and it said, Leg over.
I like clever. That. See what they did there with the VR.
Number four, Jedi Power Battles on the PlayStation 1. It was a sweet kind of pseudo 3D action platformer where you're a Jedi and you have a block button and a slash button. You could do little combos and force jump your way through the levels. It was just a lot of fun.
When you said you were going to research this list before we did the pod, did you just go to like some 12-year-old's website and just download his list?
Oh, don't tell Timmy.
Wait a second.
These are all like PS1 and like consoles that have been...
Can I rename the list to Top 10 Star Wars Games of Aaron's Childhood?
Oh.
That's not the one that has the Star Wars like dance game to it, does it?
Power Battles?
See, Aaron would know because he's copied this off Timothy Jefferson's Top 10...
I can't remember what it's called, but there's one out there that is dancing. Literally... Oh, it's Dance or whatever.
On the Kinect with the Star Wars, and it's like on the front cover, it's that person that's just like dancing in a specific way.
Star Wars characters.
Yeah, Star Wars characters dancing.
I don't want to guess at it, because I'm worried that I might guess one of the top three.
I'm glad it's not on your list.
Okay, top three actual good Star Wars games.
Number three. Good stuff. This is where listeners should start listening in and think about playing this stuff now. Number three, redeem yourself, Aaron.
Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Outcasts, Karl Katan, in space, doing missions, becoming a Jedi for the first time, building your lightsaber. It was pretty freaking awesome, that game.
I remember the first time I became a Jedi.
Katan in space?
Karl Katan, yeah.
What?
Kyle Katan.
Call of Katan.
Kyle Katan.
Kyle Katan.
Kylie Katan.
Kylie Katan. Oh, Kyle Katan, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you said it was like Settlers of Katan in space. And I was going, so it's just like this block here? Doesn't sound very action-packed.
Jedi Knight 2, Katan edition. But no, one of the characters was called Kyle Katan.
Oh, right.
He's the pilot of the Hawk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pilot of the Hawk. He becomes a Jedi through... nefarious means. He's kind of a mercenary type character, and then he becomes a Jedi when he realizes his true calling. And
his true calling is that when you do the controller, you're controlling him. So he realized, I'm the primary character in this game.
Better become a Jedi Knight.
Doesn't matter how many times I die.
That's exactly what happened in episode one, actually. They're like, oh, we need this random child to become the best Jedi Knight ever. Oh, he's not that great. Oh, let's make him very good at pod racing.
Yeah, that's it.
Yay. Yeah.
Number two,
Star Wars Battlefront 2, which was pretty much Battlefield in space. But that made it really good. You could play as clones through all six episodes not clones through all six episodes. You can play as droids and that sort of thing as well. But really, the best bit of the game was, again, have you guys played Battlefield much?
No.
Oh, Battlefield,
I'm starting to realize why.
Yeah.
I've never played any Star Wars franchise games ever.
Right.
they're not great.
Honestly, Jedi Outcast 2 was a really good first-person shooter game that had happened to have lightsabers in it sometimes.
Right. Really strong theme and story,
yeah.
I think.
The story was actually really good. Like it was, and they're just always a lot of fun to play because the stuff surrounding it's so good, but...
That's it. It's like there seems so many cheap shots, isn't it? It's like
they make
flimsy,
a lot of money.
Flimsy stories, good graphics, set in, and then just borrow the Star Wars world, which they know there's a massive audience for.
Exactly.
And everyone goes rushing in there, and then it goes, "This is rubbish."
Oh no, we did it again.
They rush in there to get it, and then they rush back to their computers to bag it.
Yeah, that's true. And complain. There is a bit of that.
Battlefront 2, no, a lot of fun. Spent many an hour on that.
Number one. This is what everyone's been waiting for. I think this whole bit could just get edited out, this whole top 10. But I think we've been building the anticipation for number one.
Aaron's number one Star Wars game of all time.
Number one.
Actually, a very, very good role-playing game.
Please, I'm hoping I've heard of it.
Knights of the Old Republic.
Yes.
Matt?
Yes.
So much fun. I agree. I'll throw it to Matt.
you don't know about this one. That's really odd.
Yeah.
It's set, if I'm correct, way before.
Way back. Yeah. Like the Old Republic, way before any of Episode 1
or anything.
So
they didn't have lightsabers, this had wooden sticks.
No, they did. This is when the Jedi Order was very young and they're based on a planet and they don't have a big council or anything. They're literally just finding these new Jedis from all around the universe. And they obviously there's the Sith around. The Sith are more ancient than the Jedi. It tells you in this.
Everyone knows the Sith are better.
Evil is much more ancient than anything else. But this is made by BioWare, who make really really good games, making Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Mass Effect. Yeah. On there.
Which is also in space.
Yeah.
Let's just call it Star Wars Mass Effect.
So the number one best Star Wars game ever, Mass Effect.
Right. But this is really good. Had a really good turn-based kind of combat system where you could pre-program moves and counter moves, and you were controlling a party which could change at your whims, and then going around and completing missions and that sort of thing. It was just a very well-realized game, and one of the biggest draw cards of it was the morality system, where every choice you made would either lean you towards the Jedi side.
The light or the dark side.
And then sometimes it was really obvious, and sometimes it was quite odd. You actually had to make justicial space decisions. Or sometimes it was like, would you like to kill the furry critter? And I was like, yes, I'd like to kill the furry critter. And then you would get like evil veins on your face every time you did an evil act. Right. And eventually you'd, if you were really good, you'd be like glowing with a little light from inside, but if you were dark, you'd look like Darth Maul, and you had like horns, and you'd be really scarred, and you'd have a red lightsaber. And the first time I played through it, I just went completely evil, did every evil thing that I could possibly do, went to the Jedi Academy. They're like, oh hey, what's up? Had no idea that I'd been so evil, and I killed every single person in the Jedi Academy, which was awesome.
Tweets. No one's tweeted us. It's too early, we've decided.
Early days.
But at @7landhand with a number for the seven. Mm-hmm. @7landhand. Tweet us anything. Or you can go to the website, which is shunnedhouse.net/Uranus or Uranus.
Uranus.
Go to shunnedhouse.net/Uranus and you'll find the episode there. And just bang anything in there. We'll find it.
Yep.
We'll talk about it. And you're in the running for prizes and stuff. Well, at the moment, we're just keeping all the prizes for ourselves. This is great.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't want it to keep going like this because...
We'll just have a mound of prizes that
we're
just
gonna
look
at. Prizes. Yeah, it's great. We've got shelves of Millennium Falcons and Slave Ones. And
don't tell them that. Don't tell them that.
It's going to be great.
Warning, prizes may not actually be available.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's all that sort of stuff. So get in touch. Ask us some questions. We'll be a little bit more prescriptive about what you could tweet or write to us about in the next section. Segment. So the next show... The next episode.
On the next episode of Seven Land Hand.
Yeah, just showing off because he can say it. We're going to have whatever magic spoilers are out for Born of the Gods.
I'm very excited.
Which we've got at least maybe one.
At least one.
Is one out. We've got to see whether that's
there's no basic lands in the set, so that's pretty much a spoiler.
There's no basic
land. No basic land. They only put the basic land in the big set. Oh, exciting.
Yeah. I have to say, this Theros block is the only reason that I've come out and played Magic at all.
Yeah.
Is because it's got me interested. So I'll be
Innistrad block did that for a lot of people as well because it had that. It was just like dripping with the horror theme.
Yeah,
you couldn't escape from it. You open a booster pack. There's zombies. There's werewolves. Like, you get a flip card. It's the, like...
transforming.
Yeah, transforming. It's cool. You know, vampires it's the scientist it's cool. turning into the human fly. You get a vampire. You get, like, a... I don't know. It's just a lot of fun, and it brought a lot of people into the game. And Theros block, I loved Greek and Roman mythology when I was younger, and when I heard they were doing a block about it, I was so excited. Yeah. You've got the Trojan horse in there. You've got hoplites and phalanxes and stuff. It's just so much fun.
Here's a preview, I think, of what's to come.
Yeah. He's super excited about that. And I was going to talk about this, about Matt. We need to start a small drafting group where people that aren't as experienced at drafting can sit down and draft, and that's you and me and some other people.
That sounds like a great
idea. Completely
kill
us. Because I don't know how to draft properly.
So I'll teach you in that group of eight and take all of the rares when I win.
That'd be So we'll start talking an intro to drafting in the next episode, and we'll be picking Aaron's brain.
Yeah.
On the website now we've got the pod end of pod criteria where you can see all of the things we've got listed so far as how we can like shut up shop on the whole Seven Land Hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing we're starting with the whole idea to shut up shop.
Of course.
But you've got to have
goals.
You've got to have goals. So if you've got any ideas how we can stop doing this, we've got five on there now. You can check them out. We've done one, which is complete a podcast without saying the word fuck once.
Oh,
it's not this one.
You've ruined it.
Yeah, but we've already done that because we did it in the pilot. Only because we had an 8-year-old in there the whole time.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I said fuck once.
Yeah?
In the pilot.
Well, if anyone's heard the word fuck in the first episode, then please get in touch and we can unscratch that.
I'm certain I said effed up.
You said effed up, yeah.
Today you did. Yeah,
you self-censored, which is great. And then you ruined it. You ruined it by reading out the actual criteria.
Yeah.
This
whole podcast is a scripted, so I'm just going straight off the script.
Yeah. Pre-programmed joke here.
All right, so, yeah. So we have, get in touch on shunhouse.net/Uranus and just leave any sort of comments that you want.
Or you can find us on iTunes at Seven Land Hand.
Yeah. And so what would be the question to go to is, like, we were thinking, if you want to make any comments regarding what you think the strong colours might be for Born of the Gods.
Yeah, what strategies you think that they're going to
What we've seen from Theros, why are we going to go with Born of the Gods?
Yeah. Also, any Greek tropes that you think that they're going to put in the thing. I was thinking Daedalus and Icarus kind of thing, where it's like the creature gets flying, but if it has flying for too long,
gets too close to the sun.
It gets too close to the sun and it falls to the ground and dies.
And the dad laughs at him and treats him like shit.
And he makes it all the way there.
So that would be cool. All right. So I think that just about wraps it up.
Yeah.
That was space. We'll be back with more space. There's more space going.
There's so much space.
So we'll be back with space too.
There's an almost infinite amount of space to cover.
Yeah, space is infinite.
Almost infinite.
It is almost infinite.
Think of infinite and then like minus one. That's how much space there is.
Like if you were going to walk to the end of it,
we could get there in a podcast.
You'd find a restaurant at the end of the universe.
Wouldn't you be really unsatisfied if you got to that universe at the end of the restaurant at the end of the universe and they had really bad coffee or cake?
Yeah, that would be
I'll have the sandwich, please. And it's terrible. It's a terrible end of... Because it takes ages for the produce to get there, so they have to use all the crappy milk and...
Yeah, and like syrup. I'll have a coffee and they just squirt some syrup in and then add some boiling water.
Oh,
and it's
like,
go to the restaurant at the end of the universe.
Don't do it.
Don't go there.
It's not worth the walk.
Don't do
honestly. I walked and I'm very old now.
All right. And that's that.
So I was really scraping the bottom of the barrel for magic-related space things, so I just got some cards from the store.
Spike Jester is now Space Jester, and instead of just haste, he's got haste, and he's got Moonwalk, which is a mechanic that I invented, where if they have a moon, he can't be blocked.
It looks like he's attacking you, but he's actually going backwards.
Look
at
him,
going forwards.
I'm just going to draw some lasers on his picture here. Yep, he's shooting lasers, shooting... because he's in space now, because he's a Space Jester, not a Spike Jester. Opportunity, I couldn't really rename anything, so that's Space Opportunity. It's card text, instead of saying draw four cards, now it says draw four cards in space.
Yeah.
Gruul Guildgate is now Gruul Guildmoon, which is a moon instead of a land. So that's going to be fun.
Stargate.
Duress is Space Duress. That's pretty good. Stargate, that's a stupid name for a thing. Mana Weft Sliver is Moon Weft Sliver, so he can add one moon mana to your mooner pool. And Celestial Flare is actually kind of a space
sunny
sounding.
Yeah.
Celestial Flare. Solar Flare. Celestial Flare.
I like
sacrifice an attacking moon creature.
This is better than your whole top 10.
Oh, nice that the Old Republic is going to be very upset with you.
And that could be that.
Yay! Moonwalk.